Good morning. It's good to see everybody here this morning. It's one of those small but mighty Sundays. Whenever I get a little discouraged at how many people we have here, I do have to remember that every week we have at least a dozen people that will listen on our website. And we also have lots of folks that are listening every week on the radio to the sermons. So there, we do reach a larger number than what's in the sanctuary at any given time. Do we have any good news or things that you guys want to share this morning? Well, we should point out we had a couple of good high school games this past weekend, and that's so both of the local high school teams are very happy with their playoff positions, and that's a good thing. We are, of course, pleased to have Antonia with us again this morning, and she will be playing. I do want to point out that we have three hymns in the service today. The middle one, as Chris usually does when he's here, we'll end up sitting for, so we'll keep that in mind when we get there. Antonia was also sharing with me before the service that one of her students was selected for Allstate Choir, and while she would have liked to have had more, that's still a big honor, obviously, so congratulations. Chris, of course, is on vacation through Monday, although I think vacation is a relative term. I believe they're down in Ames working on the house down there. But he will be gone through Monday. Dave Skilling is on call if there are any emergency needs. When I was looking through the announcements, the main one are that there's a budget meeting on Tuesday, the board meets on Wednesday, and this Saturday will be the memorial service for Judy Thorson. So, are there other things people would like to bring up this morning? Helen? Mm-hmm. No, there were several of my students that were here for the Cuban one and were and enjoyed it, so hopefully some of them may be back for Venezuelan night as well. You were mentioning the end of the harvest. Yesterday, I happened to drive down to Aldi in Fort Dodge, and it was honestly the first time I've been out of town in about a month, but it was wonderful to see all the beautiful leaves and to see the fields harvested but not yet tilled, so that, you know, you don't have that bare look that you do for so much of the winter, but it did end up being just a beautiful drive yesterday, and I was pleased to see that. Any other things that we want to mention this morning? Are you accepting candy through next Sunday or how? Okay. Other announcements that we need to make this morning? If not, let's go ahead with our call to worship. Worship the Lord with gladness. We shout with joy to God and offer songs of praise. Enter with thanksgiving and exaltation. We give thanks to God and bless the name of the Lord. For the Lord is good, with steadfast love that endures forever. From the past to the future, we praise our God. Our opening hymn is number 30.
Little bird.
Let's join together in our opening prayer. Lord of love and light, shine through our darkness, bringing us hope. Open our hearts for the journey, our eyes for the light, our spirits for the peace which you bring. Fill our mouths with laughter and speech and with shouts of joy, that we shall reveal the love which you surround us. We offer this prayer in the name of the one who brings us hope, love, peace, and joy, Jesus Christ. Amen. 3 weeks ago, we celebrated World Communion Sunday here at church. While Reverend Burnett had a nice sermon that Sunday, I have to admit that I paid closer attention to it when I was editing things for our radio broadcast than when I was actually in church. I spent most of that Sunday staring at the balloons that we had up front that had come from our church's float in the Band Day parade, balloons that were there to celebrate the church's 165th anniversary. I was reminded of a birthday party that our family threw for my grandfather back when Jimmy Carter was president. Granddad had just turned 90, and we spent much of that party going through an endless list of how the world has changed since he was born. As I stared at those 165 balloons earlier this month, my mind went through a much longer list of changes. It's amazing just how different the world is from when Chauncey Taylor came up from Fort Dodge to establish our church. In 1858, neither black people nor women could vote. The U.S. had 32 states, and it took months to travel between the East and West coasts. Most of Iowa was unsettled, and the town of Algona had been founded just 4 years earlier. The entire United States had fewer people than California does today. Since 1858, our country has been through a civil war, two world wars, and countless smaller conflicts. Members of our church served in each of those wars, and some of them gave their lives for this country. Today, we can travel anywhere in this country in just a few hours, and anywhere on Earth in less than a day. Today, people have even gone into space as tourists. When our church was founded, almost everyone in Iowa lived off the land. Today, most of our church members are professional workers, some of whom have jobs that no one could have even imagined 165 years ago. Even those who are farmers live lives that are far different than their ancestors did, with expensive equipment replacing both men and horses, and hybrid crops that are grown as much for fuel as for food. Amid those changes, lots of churches have come and gone, but we're thankful that our church is still here to serve the community. Things may be different today than they were 25, 75, or 165 years ago. Until quite recently, we wouldn't have dreamed of broadcasting our sermons on the radio or streaming them online. We wouldn't have dreamed of hosting an international night with Cuban or Venezuelan cuisine on the menu, or gathering around a peace pole every fall, or putting up signs explaining that everyone is our neighbor. Throughout our history, though, both our church in Algona and the wider Congregational and United Church of Christ have embraced inclusion and equality. Today, we're just finding new ways to broaden that message and serve a broader community. Won't you join me in prayer? Lord, thank you for keeping us together and keeping our church going for the past 165 years. May you help us continue to minister to Algona and to the world for many years to come. Amen. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but through God's gift of grace, we find redemption through Jesus Christ. Trusting in God's mercy, let's confess our sins. Eternal God, we long to be saint-like, holy, good, patient, loving, sure in our faith, and ever praising you. But no matter how hard we try, we end up being sinners. Selfish, mean, full of moral failings, and always unsure of our faith. Help us to know we are simply human, beloved but flawed, yet trying our best to succeed. Forgive the wrong we have done, God, and bless the good that we have accomplished. Keep on loving us and mold us to be more and more in the image of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Friends, hear this good news. The love of God is beyond measure, and we are included in that love. In the grace of Christ, we are forgiven and freed to serve. Hallelujah. Amen. Our first reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called over a child, placed it in their midst, and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. They who humble themselves like this child are the greatest in heaven, and whoever receives one such as this child in my name receives me." The children were brought to Jesus that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked them, but Jesus said, "Let the children come to me, and do not prevent them, for the realm of heaven belongs to such as these." Our affirmation of faith is in your bulletin. Let's rise as you are able and join together as we affirm our faith. We believe in God, the divine creator of all living things. God is the shepherd, and we are the sheep. God is beside us, helping whenever we are in need, looking into our hearts and encouraging us to be nice to each other and do the right things so that we might live as the blessed children we are. We believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross and was put in a tomb and then rose for us. He is our healer and protector, always with and there for us. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who is always there to guide us. We see the Spirit in surprising ways every day, like our friends at church and in community. In all these ways, God is there for us. May we in turn be there for God and put our faith into action. Amen. Please be seated. Our second hymn this morning is number 51.
Consider
reading this morning is from Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to God, all the earth. Sing to the Holy One. Bless God's holy name. Proclaim the Lord's salvation day after day. Declare the Almighty's glory among the nations. God's marvelous works to all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. God is to be revered above all deities. Honor and majesty are the holy ones. Power and beauty are God's sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O tribes of the people. Pay tribute with glory and with strength. Honor the glorious name of God. Worship the Lord, majestic in holiness. Tremble before God, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord is our ruler. The world is firmly established. It shall never be moved. God will judge each nation with equity. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. Most of you know that last summer, I made a big trip. It was a trip that was supposed to happen back in 2020, but it got postponed when the COVID-19 pandemic hit. Finally, the borders opened this year, and I was able to head south to New Zealand. It's a gorgeous country whose islands extend from the tropics to Antarctica, and I spent nearly a month exploring almost all of its regions. One place I went that's not on a lot of tourists' radar was the city of Invercargill. This is a place about the size of Mankato that lies at the bottom of New Zealand's South Island. There's a cool antique car museum in Invercargill, but its main claim to fame is that it's the location of the southernmost of each chain business on the planet. I had breakfast at the world's southernmost McDonald's. And I walked past the southernmost KFC, the southernmost Burger King, the southernmost Subway, and the southernmost Starbucks. Invercargill is far from the southernmost place in the world, but New Zealand is much more developed and westernized than the tip of Argentina and Chile. That's why all the global chains put their outposts in Invercargill. While I enjoyed my southernmost Egg McMuffin, for me, Invercargill was mostly a stopover between Stewart Island, a nearly uninhabited place with nothing but the Southern Ocean between it and Antarctica, and Dunedin, a place known for its Scottish heritage and miniature penguins. Strangely, though, Invercargill remains in my mind more than most of the other places I went to in New Zealand. It's an attractive place, but not one that has pretensions or feels like it has to gussy itself up for tourists. And since it's neither a small town nor a big city, it gave me a pretty good idea of what real New Zealanders are like. What I remember most about Invercargill, though, was walking down a side street north of downtown. I happened to pass a car repair shop. And on the side of that building, someone had painted some of the most interesting graffiti I'd ever seen. On a brightly colored background, someone had painted a phrase that began with the words, "Live each day." When I first saw that sign, I figured the message said to live each day as if it was your last day on Earth. I've seen that message countless times. Sometimes people use that line to urge us to seize the day and have no regrets, while other times they're suggesting that we should get right with God before we die. While I don't disagree with either of those interpretations, they've become a bit cliche. I couldn't begin to say how many times I've heard that advice, and I figured this graffiti was just more of the same old thing. When I read it more closely, though, this message didn't say what I first thought it did. The command wasn't live each day as if it was your last day on earth. Instead, it said live each day as if it was your first day on earth. That's a very different command, and one I rather like. It's wonderful advice and fascinating to think about how living each day would be if we thought of it as our first day on Earth. While none of us can remember our first day, we've seen the joy that little children have when they experience things for the first time. The world is full of wonderful discoveries for children, and the thrill kids have when they discover new things is infectious. Certainly, kids can complain, but they get over their problems quickly, and they go on to find joy in something else. Shouldn't we be like children and find wonder in everything around us? I kept that graffiti in my mind throughout the rest of the trip. I tried hard to notice everything I encountered, the snow-covered mountains, the narrow fjords, the deep canyons, the sheep grazing on hillsides, the artifacts in museums, and the sprawling cities. New Zealand is a gorgeous country, and I tried hard to follow the graffiti's advice and really make each day a new experience. Traveling with that intention made for an outstanding trip. The graffiti I saw in Invercargill reminded me of a piece I did when I was in high school speech decades ago. It was an essay written by Helen Keller, the woman who lost her sight and hearing in infancy, but went on to overcome those disabilities. The essay is called 3 Days to See. Keller begins by recalling a conversation she had with a friend who had just returned from hiking in the woods. She asked the friend what she had seen on the hike, and the response was, "Nothing in particular." Keller writes, "How was it possible, I asked myself, to walk for an hour through the woods and see nothing worthy of note? I, who cannot see, find hundreds of things to interest me through mere touch. I feel the delicate symmetry of a leaf, the delightful velvety texture of a flower. Occasionally, if I'm fortunate, I place my hand gently on a small tree and feel the happy quiver of a bird in full song. I am delighted to have the cool waters of a brook rush through my open fingers. The lush carpet of pine needles is more welcome than a luxurious Persian rug. At times, my heart cries out with longing for all these things. If I can get so much pleasure from mere touch, how much more beauty must be revealed through sight?" She goes on to ponder the things that she would want to look at if she were granted the gift of vision for just 3 days, and she challenges the reader to think about what they would want to look at if they only had 3 days of sight. Keller imagines seeing the faces of her friends and looking at people in general. She writes, "How satisfying it would be to grasp the essential qualities of another person by watching the subtleties of expression, the quiver of a muscle, the flutter of a hand." Keller challenges the reader to really see. She asks, "Can you accurately describe the faces of 5 good friends? Some of you can, but many cannot. As an experiment, I have questioned the husbands of long standing about the color of their wives' eyes, and often they expressed embarrassed confusion and admit they do not know. She notes that, like those husbands, too often many of us become lazy with our vision. We get accustomed to things and really only see the unusual. Many of the things Keller imagines seeing are very routine. She ponders the colors of the rugs in her home, or exactly what dogs look like. She wants to visit a farm and see a tractor plowing the soil. She imagines what the sunset and the sunrise would look like, as well as the beauty of famous works of art. She ponders what it would be like to go to the movies or perhaps a live play. She wants to see what a boat looks like, to visit a factory, and to see children at play." Keller concludes her essay by admonishing us to use the gifts God gave us. "Make full use of the gift of sight," she says. "Hear the music of voices, the song of a bird, the mighty strains of an orchestra. Smell the perfume of flowers. Taste with relish each morsel. And touch all the textures of nature. When I prepared the service today, I spent a long time deciding what Bible verses to include. After doing a lot of searching, I chose two brief gospel passages where Jesus refers to the value of children and urges us to become like children. I use them instead of the gospel reading that the lectionary suggests for today, which is "render unto Caesar that which is Caesar and unto God what is God's," a reminder that this is the time of year for pledge cards and stewardship. I did pick one reading from today's lectionary, though. That was Psalm 96, which tells of the exuberance we should give to God. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the fields exult, let the forests sing with joy. Both in our religion and in our daily lives, we need that kind of exuberance. We need to bring back the joy we knew as children that steadily faded away as we got older. I want to close with one more of the things Helen Keller ponders in 3 Days to See. "I should let my eyes rest," she writes, "on the face of a baby, so that I could catch a vision of the eager, innocent beauty which precedes consciousness of the conflicts which life develops." That baby brings us full circle to the graffiti I saw in Invercargill. Eager and innocent is a wonderful description of little children, and I hope each of us will be less aware of the problems in our world and find more eagerness and innocence in our lives. May we all live each day as if it was our first day on earth. Now we come to our time for community prayer. We'll start by asking what prayers you would like to include this morning. Phil. So we do pray that God will be with her for the pacemaker installation then. God, in your steadfast love and care for us, hear our prayer. Helen. So for Bessie's husband, Gary, as he is recovering slowly from shoulder surgery. God, in your steadfast love and care for us, hear our prayer. So for the O'Neill family, and of course for all who are battling cancer, God, in your steadfast love and care for us, hear our prayer. And so in particular for R.J. Solbach and Dave Bibler and their recoveries as well. God, in your steadfast love and care for us, hear our prayer. We certainly want to include the people of Israel and Palestine, and especially those in Gaza. God, in your steadfast love and care for us, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are recovering from the many natural disasters that we have seen all through this year. God, in your steadfast love and care for us, hear our prayer. I'd like to pray for our government, that they may reach a sense of consensus and stability. God, in your steadfast love and care for us, hear our prayer. For the farmers as they finish the harvest, God, in your steadfast love and care for us, hear our prayer. We do pray for Pastor Chris and Pam, and that they may enjoy the rest of their vacation and come back refreshed. God, in your steadfast love and care for us, hear our prayer. And we pray for our church that we may continue to serve our community long into the future. God, in your steadfast love and care for us, hear our prayer. Let's join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now let's take a moment to share our gifts. And let's join together in our prayer of dedication. Eternal God, we cannot begin to list the many ways you bless us. We thank you for providing for us, and we pray that our gifts may further the work of this church and help do your work in the world. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 22. For our benediction today, please indulge me as I share a little longer passage than usual. In keeping with our theme, I want to share the words of one of the top singer-songwriters of the 20th century. Bob Dylan wrote these words as a lullaby for his son, but I think they're appropriate for us at any age. May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung, and may you stay forever young. May you grow up to be righteous, may you grow up to be true. May you always know the truth and see the light surrounding you. May you always be courageous, stand upright, and be strong, and may you stay forever young. May your hands always be busy. May your feet always be swift. May you have a strong foundation when the winds of changes shift. May your heart always be joyful. May your song always be sung. And may you stay forever young.